Remember, in the book of Romans chapter 2 this evening, those listening by other means, give us a call at 856-261-9018 or email it questions at bftbc.org. Glad to hear from you. Say hello or just ask a question or whatever. In Romans chapter 2, last time we stopped at verse 13, we're going to start at verse 14 this evening. Romans chapter 2, let's read verse 14, 15, and 16 together, beginning at verse 14. For when the Gentiles, who have had not the law, through by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, but show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Verse number 14. Who are these Gentiles we're talking about here? When the Gentiles, which have not the law. Who's the Gentiles? What does that mean?
Non-Jews.
Those are heathen people. Have not the law. What law is that? Law of Moses. They don't have a law. By nature do the things contained in the law. What does it mean just by nature? Naturally, just automatically. Everybody doesn't have a right and wrong do things right? No, but it says if they do things right, they do things according to nature. What is true of them in verse number 14? They do the things that are in the law. The law unto themselves. In other words, they found the proper thing that pleases the Lord. The law is there, so they're fulfilling that which they don't have in the writing, but they do it because it's a natural thing. And then in verse 15, what does this prove? What does this show that they are doing the law in themselves? In verse 15, what does that show?
Written in their hearts.
What is this business of their conscience? What is the conscience?
Conscience would be with knowledge.
Yes, concio means literally with knowledge. But what is the conscience supposed to do? What doesn't always do? So it's supposed to decide right and wrong. What does it do with the right?
Do.
What does it do with the wrong?
Don't do.
So it's supposed to do. So not do. So it's supposed to do this. Are all consciences operative? Are people today having operative consciences doing that with the right?
They're
seared. Any of them are seared? How? How seared with what? What happens when something is seared? When flesh is seared, what happens to the sensitivity? It's burned.
Pressure.
What about the sensitivity of that flesh?
It's gone.
It's gone. No sensitive. It's gone. It's completely ruled out. And those of you who've had surgery, it's cut in your body. If you put your finger on that cut, you can't feel anything, see? And so the conscience bearing witness. What else is true if what else is true in verse 15? There's the conscience, but there's thoughts. What's the difference between the conscience and the thoughts? Does the conscience necessarily have thoughts? The thoughts either accuse or excuse. What's the difference between accuse and excuse?
Well, conscience would be more morality, wouldn't it?
Conscience tells you what's right and wrong. It gives you the morality. If it's working, just like the thermostat, if it's working, the one that is too hot, it'll click on for cool if it's air conditioning, or if it's in the wintertime and it's too cold, it'll click on for heat. But if the conscience is seared, it doesn't work, it won't happen. Yes, Tammy, and then Barbara.
Well, excuse me, judging others,
blaming
them for things that we've done.
All right.
Excusing would be saying that we've
done Yes, so in other words, this one another refers to who? The Gentiles, but other people, see? And so, bearing witness to thoughts, now some people either accuse people or they excuse. What does it mean to excuse somebody? Overlook it? They can do what they want, just excuse it? So this is what the conscience and the thoughts in that verse have to do. In verse 16, what day is it referring to here?
Judgment
Day. When is that going to take place? When will that happen? Well, what happens at the Great White Throne Judgment?
Yeah,
Who's there?
The unjust.
Unjust, the lost, hell-bound sinners are there. What other judgment is there? What is it, Anna? What is it? Judgment seat of Christ. That's totally right. The judgment seat of Christ. Who's at the judgment seat of Christ?
Believers.
Who's the judge at that time?
Lord.
Who's the judge at the great white throne?
The Father.
The Father? No. There's a vision. Who's right? Father and Christ. Who is it?
Christ.
Who? What's your proof of that? What's your proof of that? Saying Jesus is the Father's committed all judgment to the Son. So the Son is the one that judges the lost, at the great white throne, also the saved. Now notice this: what standard is given in verse 16 of this judgment? What's the standard in verse 16?
According to Paul's Gospel.
Paul's Gospel. There are three other standards in this chapter. Verse 2, what standard is in verse 2 of judgment? According to truth. What standard is in verse number 5? What standard is mentioned in verse 5?
Revelation.
Righteous. It's going to be a righteous judgment. It's going to be truth for righteous judgment. What's the standard in verse 11? What's the standard of judgment there? Yes.
People are
equal. No respect to persons. In other words, that's another implement. And then this is the fourth one in verse 14. According to my gospel. What is Paul's gospel?
Christ crucified me rather
than. That Christ, right, the good news. In Romans 1:16, in the same book, it tells very clearly. Let's say it together. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel is the good news. Similar to that in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Oh, yes, that's again.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, more brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have also received, and wherein you stand, by which also you stand, are saved. And keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, but delivered unto you, first of all, that which ye also received, that Christ was died for our sins, for the Scriptures, and was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures.
All right, so that's the death of Christ for sins. Very important part of Paul's gospel, isn't it? And in Romans 3:23, what does it say about sin?
All
have sinned. All have sinned. Short of the glory of God. And what does it say in John 3:16 as far as, or even in Romans 1:16? What's the gospel? To whom is it applicable? The whole world. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to whom? Everyone that does. That believe it. Now let me ask you this question. We've fought and argued about this, what Jesus came into your heart, several weeks now. Is that any part of Paul's gospel?
No.
That's man's silliness and simplicity, and some people are hooked on that thing. We got another call tonight from Gary. He wants 505. Let Jesus come into your heart. We said last week, that's not the scripture. We're not going to use that hymn anymore. Another hymn about Jesus in the heart too. That's true in John 16. It says that the Father will come and dwell and the Son will come in. But these words, let Jesus come into your heart and accept Jesus in your heart, this is not the gospel. What are the things that are avoided if that's all that little person, that little boy or girl knows? They say, oh, I let Jesus come into my heart. What is avoided? What do they not tell you in just that little expression? There's no genuine faith. What else? Sin. There's nothing about their sinners bound for hell. What else?
Faith.
Right. There's nothing that says that the Lord Jesus died for your sins. Nothing about Calvary. Absolutely. What is it? There's no trust in Christ. You let Jesus Christ in your heart. Let him in. That's not good. Genuine faith is lost. It's a pagan gospel. It's an antithesis of what's truth. It's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, fine.
Before, in talking with child, before you get to the heart, you let Jesus come in your heart. You explain all my sin. They know my sin. They know they're a sinner. They know all that. And that's the conclusion of that you're wrong. You know,
Where's that in Scripture? Give me a verse on that.
It isn't, though.
No Scripture. But so why are we telling young people against the Scripture what to do? See, child evangelism, that's what they do, and they confuse people. Confusion.
But they tell them all our sins.
No, I'm not talking about what they tell them, don't tell them. I'm talking about Jesus come into your heart. That one phrase is unscriptural, it's wrong.
Right.
Dead wrong.
Right.
Now, I don't know why Gary keeps bringing it up again. We explained to him very clearly, it's not the Bible.
It's very different from what
we were taught. Well, anyhow. It's different. What you heard? What are you taught? You thought that's all right to say?
Well,
do you still believe it's right to tell people of the gospel? That's the gospel. Is that Paul's gospel? He said, "Let Jesus come into your heart."
I guess not.
No, of course not. See, we've got to face up. But wait a minute. I'm not talking about any preceding part. Nobody says anything about the preceding part. The preceding part. I'm just saying that one thing, let Jesus come into your heart, is confusing, it's wrong, it leaves out the fact that they're sinners, the fact that Christ died for their sins, they must trust the Lord Jesus. No, honey, just when they say let Jesus come into your heart, period, that's vacant of all the other things.
Before you say that, you talk about sin.
All right, but you don't say let Jesus come into your heart, you say believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now shall be saved. What did the Philippian jailer, what did Paul tell the Philippian jailer in Acts 16:30? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Now that's what they should tell these young people. Forget the nonsense. Then we talked about 2 weeks ago, last week, about the sinner's prayer. I think Bill mentioned the sinner's prayer. What is the sinner's prayer? And why is that also on Scripture?
It's the same thing, basically.
All right.
The problem with the sinner's prayer is it's all in the head. It's not from the heart at all.
All right. That's good.
No, it's not from the heart.
See, we got a woman here, my wife, and she's just got, she's dyed in the wool, the old-fashioned, but we got to get Scripture. And you can't justify child evangelism fellowship any more than you can justify, what's that, campus crusade for Christ, those 4 points. The 4 points don't give the gospel message clear. Strange. I don't remember offhand, but it doesn't say you're a sinner. It doesn't say Christ died for your sins. It's a bunch of other stuff. Yes, Tammy. Right? Right. Right.
Now, it's simple enough for a child, but a lot of times the problem with child evangelism is that people don't get followed up. Instead of when they make a decision, so to speak, and they're never disciples, so they never have the opportunity to understand and say,
Yes, Rick.
I was wondering myself, like, you know, there's many people who made that statement and were led through evangelism explosion and all into believing that they've asked Jesus into their heart. I'm just wondering, what response do we have, those who maybe know a little bit better, how do we get that question answered? How do we get them help so that they don't go to hell?
I would take them to John 3:16, which says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Urge them to believe in the Lord Jesus. What does John 5:24 say? 5:24. He that 5:24.
What?
Yes, Bill.
When we invite Jesus into our heart, we're doing an act. We're performing a work because we're doing something. We're making a conscious decision and imploring to God to come into our heart. when we come to faith through believing, it's a spontaneous act that happens instantly.
Mm-hmm.
The moment we actually believe in Jesus Christ, it's felt in the heart. The Holy Spirit comes in to dwell in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to invite the Holy Spirit in.
Mm-hmm.
It happens automatically as part of being saved.
Right.
That's not anything that I did. It's the way I reacted.
Now, the scriptures are very clear in this, about the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and so on. There's nothing wrong with the heart. I mean, the sincere belief. John 5:24. What is it?
Saying to you,
believe on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's the good news right there. Devon. And then Tammy, I mean Anna. Yes. Man has received him. Well, get the heart out of here. That's the thing.
Right.
You receive him. Believe on him. Trust him.
Where do you receive him as your life?
You don't have to receive him.
You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Trust him. Rest in him. Anna and then John.
Your confidence not to be on less than such a date. I prayed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's not
That's right. He died for our sins.
The point is, your confidence can't be in the prayer that you made. Your confidence has to be in the Lord.
Right.
Think about if you try and trust in the prayer, then you're trusting in yourself.
Right.
And you don't be
trusting in the Savior.
But I'm just making a comment.
All right. Good time. Yeah.
What Dr. Wade's been talking about is the two heretical views have been so popularized, at least since the 70s.
Yeah.
Of quick prayerism and easy believism.
Right.
You know, which are both devoid of the true gospel message. They don't talk, as you mentioned, Dr. Wade mentioned, they don't really talk about sin and that you have need of the Savior, you need to be washed in the blood of Christ.
Right.
It's just that, you know, accept Jesus, but what Jesus are you accepting? They don't really go into what Jesus you're accepting.
Right.
It ends up being a false gospel to be the Jesus of us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever, you know, the Muslim Jesus for all you know.
So, yes, Barbara, you have something?
I can't find it. What did the thief on the cross say?
Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
And today thou shalt
be with me in paradise. That's what the Lord Jesus said. That's right. He's trusting the Lord. That's right. See, so in verse 16, the fourth standard for the judgment of God is according to Paul's gospel, his good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. As Pastor Dan said in 1 Corinthians 15, he died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's all part of it. And in Romans 1:16, unto them that believe, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a faith that saves. And we've got to be clear when we present the gospel to people. And do all people believe they're sinners?
No, they don't.
Do all people believe that Christ died for their sins?
Nope.
No, they don't. Does all people trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior?
No.
No, see, it's a step and they've got to understand it.
I believe in Jesus, I think that's going to do it.
No, that's
it. They don't know what they believe about
Jesus. They don't
believe
about it.
Good, but they don't read their Bibles and no one's really taking them through the scriptures to explain to them.
Right, yeah, Bob. And then Anna.
Is it alright to say that Jesus put into his life?
That's not in Scripture. That's you've got to stick with the Bible. Bible verses. Whether it's John 5:24, John 3:16, Romans 1:16, whether it's Acts 16:30-31. What must I do to be saved was the question of the jailer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house. In other words, trust, depend upon it. Yeah, Rick, and then Danny, and then Adam.
I was just wondering, because I know that many people that have ask Jesus into their heart, believing on him in their own kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
But how do I articulate to them? How do I have a conversation with them to get to this place of understanding? I mean, you just can't go and say, well, you're saying you're saved, but you aren't saved.
Yeah.
There has to be an appropriate way to approach it. I have no clue.
Yeah. I think the Gospel of John, the last chapter, many other things, miracles of Jesus, are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. See?
Take him to
that. That's a good verse to take him to.
Yeah.
And John 14:6, I'll say it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No, 3:16, see? Or he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God is abided in him. John 3:36, all these different Gospels of John, that's the purpose of John, that people believe on his name and be saved. Anna had something, please. And then Bob. Oh, Tammy?
I was just thinking about this verse in Romans 10, it starts out with scripture in Romans 9 and Romans 11, which
mm-hmm.
were written to the Jews. And the verse that's before it, like in Romans 10:8,
mm-hmm.
the word 9, that's from Deuteronomy 30,
mm-hmm.
which clearly is speaking to the Jews there.
Right.
But in verse 13, Romans.
But then he explains in verse 14, how shall they call him whom they have not heard, or believe in whom they have not preached. So,
no, but I'm saying belief in the calling, mm-hmm. not simultaneous.
It's possible.
So but, what God works in their hearts to actually understand the truth that they have heard.
See now, for instance, in John, that's right, but in Romans, for instance, chapter 10, like you're there, Romans 10, verse 9, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, we believe with our heart. A heart belief is a sincere belief.
How do you believe in
your heart? A heart belief, that's a sincere, means a sincere belief, a true belief, a genuine belief in the heart. You're saved. So it must be a genuine faith. Yes, Pastor Dan.
So Flippy Taylor asked in 9:16, Paul says, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
The response was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, not us.
Mm-hmm.
So Taylor was asking as far as believing in calling, it's, I don't know, I would think that we go hand in hand with each other.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Any other comments? Yeah, Bob? Yes, John chapter 1, verse 10, 11, and 12. Yeah.
That's where when you try to explain, that's how you get the harmony. How do you receive?
You receive by faith. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But stay away from the heart. This it's a parlance that is very easy to say and greatly misunderstood as far as the Bible is concerned. There's never a scripture that says, let Jesus come into your heart. Not a single verse. You believe with your heart, that's a sincere belief. Yeah, Bill?
All of the work of salvation is accomplished by the Lord. We have no part in that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have no part in writing the Bible. God wrote all the words in the Bible. God defined the system which exists in the world for us to learn, to understand. Everything comes from God.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, yes, Anna and Penny.
God as well, the devil also believes and
comes. Mm-hmm. That's to be a genuine belief, yes,
family. I have a little bit of a problem with
Well, God gives you everything for salvation. We have to choose to accept.
That's right.
So there is a part that we have.
Oh, yeah, we trust and we believe.
The problem is that too many pastors have tried to force that decision upon people. Mm-hmm. They don't believe and don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have enough understanding of the Word of God to properly make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Very prevalent.
Yes, so Bill and then Barbara.
When we read their scripture, we learn what it is that the Lord expects from us. The decision that we would make is really spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's really in our hands. It's sort of forced to be by
us. Uh-huh, just me. All right. Just hello.
Pastor
Lee. Yes.
Hi, Jim Canada.
Jim, yes, Jim Canada, Massachusetts. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just one thought. A lot of these songs, even in the hymn books or contemporary songs, whatever, people who write songs, they don't always have sound doctrine.
Yes.
Most of the people in churches they're learning the word like, okay, you're a man of God, you're teaching very sound doctrine, but there's even some people sometimes in your church that I'm growing in God's grace that you have to learn sound doctrine. So if you write, if there are people in churches that write songs that don't have the mind of Christ and sound doctrine, that's why some of them show up in the hymnals.
Yes.
So you have to have, song should be based on the words of God, sound doctrine, and the right translation words too as well.
Right.
That's what a lot of those problems are. And when you believe on Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your union spirit, I believe, right?
Uh-huh. Into your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, yes.
God, there's verses in Ezekiel talking about God will give you a new heart.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't want to live in your old heart. And then I think things like Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, they claim Christ came in their heart. So Jesus in their heart. Why are they for killing babies, abortion? Why are they for gay marriage? Is Jesus in Hillary's heart and Bill Clinton's heart saying it's okay to kill babies? Pretty
wacky,
you know, some of the way it gets, you know.
Right.
Because all because it's based on sound doctrine in the gospel.
Yes. Very good. Well, thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. Let's wave to Jim from Massachusetts. Way over in Massachusetts. Yeah, very good. Yes. Barbara.
What says the scripture? The contrast in verse 8 in Romans 10 is, but what says it, the scripture? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That refers back to the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. I get the belief thing, okay,
yeah,
that you're talking about, but where does the belief, Mrs. Wade said, where does the belief go? Where do we believe? And it says we are to believe in our heart, because out of the heart is the wellspring of life.
Yes, believe in the heart, out of genuine belief. The heart means a genuineness, not necessarily physical. Yes, go ahead, Jacob from Texas. Go ahead, Jacob.
Yes, sir. I was thinking this easy believism is kind of like a Protestant version of the Catholic transubstantiation, you know, kind of ordering Christ to come down, the wafer and the wine. And you know, I heard you preaching one time, and this stuck with me, and I'm really glad it did. It's John 16:8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And he said the other that the Holy Ghost can have on the outside of a non-believer is the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. I've seen all three of them things work on a Catholic aunt I have. You know, she wasn't saved, but me and Mama witnessed this, and you know, it was just proof that the Word is true, 100%.
Uh-huh.
God bless y'all and have a good evening.
Okay, thank you. That's Wade to Jacob Gorman from Texas. Yes, sir, was it Pastor Dan?
There's two things. We believe in the unlimited atonement. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
The redemption is particular to those who believe, but the atonement is unlimited.
Right.
For whose scripture problem, then the Lord shall be saved. I got a text here from Sam. He said, he's got something else to mention about practicing enough to shirt the crusades. He says, in the book of 1 John is a good place to check if a person is saved.
Mm-hmm. 1 John, all right?
1 John.
All right, so as Dr. Schaefer said, the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary, one of my teachers for 4 years, the man who said it many times before, you have not preached the gospel, but you've given them something to believe. I believe that's a good phrase. You haven't preached the gospel, the good news, until you've given them something to believe. Well, that's where you have these things. You're a sinner, all have sinned. The Lord Jesus died for your sins. Believe that. You must trust Him and genuinely have faith in Him. It's something to believe. And He's promised, once you do that, He will save you. He'll give you everlasting life. So, something to believe. Yes, Tammy.
Do we believe that Mary and Joseph were saved?
Pardon me?
Do we believe that Mary
and Joseph were saved? No, we don't believe there was a
Somebody made a comment that to that effect, and then it sounds a lot like Calvinism
to me. Well, I didn't hear if they made it tonight?
Yes.
In the room or on the phone?
Yes.
In the room. No, irresistible grace. We don't believe that at all. People.
What's
his name?
No, what's
his name?
Yes.
Is it I?
Is it I?
I didn't.
You said you don't have a choice but we have to
believe. No.
You said something to that effect.
Yeah, but you were taking my comment out of context. The moment you believe, it's like an aha moment. Suddenly, it's not just a thought in your head. Now have a conviction of it.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, from hearing scripture or something like that, that's what I'm referring to there.
Okay, Anna, Barbara, and Rick.
It's like Jeremiah, and so the Lord would decriminalize the journey and the
Well, I don't think it's my situation
is
nearly that complicated.
Okay, Barbara.
I got interrupted by this phone call here, so let me go back here. Okay, so I'm not understanding the differentiation that you're making. We believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I'm not understanding. I'm having a difficult time. I understand what you're telling her about Jesus coming into your heart, that concept, but I'm not understanding the lack of the heart that I'm getting.
All right. Jesus into your heart, a heart
yes.
is a location. Believe with the heart, that's genuineness.
Yes.
That's
but
the
it's
difference.
With the heart.
But it's not into the heart.
Yes, in thine heart, if thou shalt
believe
in thine
no,
heart.
No, but believe in your heart with genuineness. That's all that means, genuineness. Not just a head belief, but a heart belief.
Absolutely.
Got to be a heart belief, genuineness. That's not to have the Lord Jesus come into the heart with your heart, with your genuine heart. Anna, and then Bill, and oh, Rick. Oh, sorry, Rick first.
Yeah, getting deep, which is good. That's what the Bible says all about. But can you give me kind of a definition of what heart really is? Because I think it's the definition of a heart that's going to help us all. Because I'm a little confused too, because the way I read Romans, some of the things that we've talked about, some of the people sort of believed almost the same way and may have gotten confused. So could you define, like, from your perspective, heart?
Well, it's the inner being. That's where the heart is. And the inner being, not simply the thing that pumps our blood,
right.
The inner being. It says in Psalm 119, for example, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Now, that's what you hide the word in your heart. Then sincere, believe with all thine heart, thou mayest, but thou believest with all thine heart. In other words, sincerely. It's just simply an inner being. It implies sincerity. That's what the heart is.
Okay, so when they say, I've asked Jesus to come into my heart, could have they meant that part of them, they were surrendering to Jesus? I mean, that's where I went with what you're talking about.
Well, whatever they mean, it's not scripture, it's the gospel message, preaching the gospel, whether it's John 3:16, whether it's Romans 10:9 even, whether it's all these things, Romans 1:16, it's got to be clear-cut case. Yes, for John.
Yeah, I think what might help clear it up, Dr. Reagan, correct me if I'm wrong on this, you know, in this chapter where it talks about heart, it talks about the seat of the emotions.
Yes.
You know, and in our culture, the seat of the emotions we refer to as the heart.
Right.
Now, I know there's a tribe in Africa, I don't remember the name of the tribe, the seat of the emotions for them is in their throat. So when translation work is done from the original manuscripts into their language, they would not use the word heart there. They would use the word throat. And it would be understood by them. It's the seat of their emotions. Does that help clarify that?
It's not dynamic equivalent.
It's not talking about the... No, it would still be a word-for-word translation.
No, it's
because we're not talking, you know, because when the King James translators had to translate, use what was best.
Trying to put it where they understand. That's what you're saying.
Okay.
All right, any other comments on that? Bill?
Yeah. And then the difference, if you believe in your head, your beliefs can be shaped. They can be moved.
Yes.
And you may not rely on them. In a moment when you're thinking, you may rely on your thoughts. But in a situation where you don't have time to think, what you feel inside your heart, if you believe there,
Heart means sincerity. Yeah, Bon? And then Anna.
Romans 8:17, that speaks of the heart. Don't put it in the mind of the spirit because you make the relationship. So God searches our heart.
Well, absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. The heart is in scripture in many, many places. The heart. With the heart, man believes not a rest, all these things. My word have I hid in my heart. It's a sincerity. We said, trust Christ in your heart, not simply in your head. This is sincere belief. Erect and
so I guess that they would say, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes. Believe in my heart is different than let Jesus come into your heart. Believe in my heart means sincere belief. That's not letting Jesus come into the heart. It's the heart, the feeling of sincerity.
Right.
When you have a come into your heart, that's a location. Come in. No. Sincere heart is sincerity. Completely different. If that's what
I'm saying. Now, getting to what John was saying about the throat, and I've heard other places, the liver.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, it's the, when, well, the way I ever explained it, like in literature and tracts, when you're evangelizing, they don't say, don't, but then again, we've had a big discussion about this. They don't ask that to come in your heart, they have them come in their liver. Or, you know, I guess in the country, John would come into their throat. And so perhaps in their evangelism techniques, they're using a different term. Of course, we said to do the premise because it was incorrect and not precise theology, and asking God into their heart versus liver versus throat. But the seat of the emotions.
Neither is scriptural.
I'm not saying
neither
it is. But it was.
Dead wrong.
It's not only necessarily a translation of the scripture, it's a principle they're using, perhaps falsely.
Yeah. All right, Anna, then Barbara.
Okay, so I had a thought.
I'm glad you have a thought.
When you think about the phrase, ask Jesus to come into your heart. So, I mean, the scripture says, you know, that I will dwell, like I will come, I and the Father will come and dwell with him. And so, like, in John and so forth. But so, if you think, so then, but then if you think about asking the Holy Spirit into your heart, and that's, you don't do that because you can't be indwelt by the Holy Spirit until you're saved at the moment of salvation.
Right.
You accept Christ as your Savior, and then the Holy Spirit will come in, and you have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And the more you pray to the Father, the more you pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the correct, I assume that the correct been saved not to even call me, but rather I'm a sinner, but your son is the Savior, and I ask that you would apply his righteousness to my account as you had promised to do. I mean, none of them said, none of them could do it for, but that's the idea. I just wanted to ask him to you as well.
Mr. Barber, what is it?
My heart is circumcised. That part of me is circumcised.
Figuratively.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the semi heart is taken out and a heart of flesh is given me, and that heart is circumcised because the heart goes back to the seat of the emotions for us. That's where it's at.
Yes.
I'm back to
the heart. Well, the heart is used in Scripture often, many, many scores of times, the heart. But talking about the indwelling the Father and the Son, in John 14:22 says, Jesus, or Judas, said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest unto us and not unto the world? John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, the man loved me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, that is the Father and the Son, will come unto him and make our abode with him. So, as we've said many times in Scripture, Father and Son, as well as the Holy Spirit, indwells the born-again saved Christian. These are verses for here. So that's, there's no question about that. If that's an end, then Rick, then it's fine.
John, chapter 16, verse 6, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, the expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you.
Yes.
I mean, it's a Comforter, you know, not of a different sort.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes, fine.
Who is hurt.
Right.
My salvation is with John 10:10. And John 8, and Bible read them, but what says that the word is not? Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That is also confessed with thy mouth, but it doesn't leave in thy heart. But God is faith into the world, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart, man believes in salvation. With the mouth, confesses man in salvation.
That's right. In that case, the heart is the tool. It's not the location. Not the place. No, but it's the tool with the heart. It's a thing that's a genuine reception of Christ. Sincere, that's what that means.
Believe in thine.
Believe, yes. Yes, right.